This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you in part by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and using the promo code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout. Coming up on TMS, eggs, gays, and rap.
Are you my real dad?
Sonic says stop smoking weed every day.
What's with the pickle jar?
Learn how to drive.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
That robot doctor, Cookie Crisp.
This plan to get Cookie Crisp cereal is out of control.
I just can't help myself. It looks like little chocolate chip cookies.
But it stays crispy in milk. And it's part of this complete breakfast. Look what a mess you've made.
No, I've got it together.
If you like cookies, you'll love Cookie Crisp.
Now you can get free Nerds candy in three great flavors.
Yo, you're a real good drawer.
This is The Morning Stream. Yo, bartender, Jobu needs a refill.
Oh, that was weird. Wait. There we go. Hey, it's all working now. Welcome back to TMS, everybody. It's Wednesday, the 4th of April. April the 4th. May the 4th be with you. Wait, that doesn't work. That's May. Let's not ever say that again.
April 4th is Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, is it today?
Yeah.
April 4th. No, wait. That's the day he died.
It's the day he died. It's not Martin Luther King Day. Not the February day, but it's like the day in Memphis when he was shot.
Yeah, the infamy day where he was shot.
Early morning, April 4th, shots ring out in the Memphis sky.
You know, people that make really big differences in the world, why do they always get assassinated? What's the deal with that? What's going on with that? They either end up in prison or they get assassinated. Come on.
I don't know.
Could we do better at that, people? Could we be a better race of humans and not assassinate people who are making real positive change in the world? How about that?
Right.
Yeah. What I'm saying is don't assassinate Brian and I, because here we are making positive change in the world with another episode of The Morning Stream. It's Wednesday. That means all the usual tomfoolery that comes with Wednesdays.
Including tomfoolery.
Yeah,
we'll be here
right.
Later to talk tech.
Changing his name legally to Foolery, which is close to Woolery, and nobody wants that.
No.
Hey, so...
Well, we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Yesterday, I put out a request for people to tell me what the gay agenda was. I was asking people who think there's one.
Okay? Right, exactly. You weren't asking the gays. You were asking the people who take offense or
the straights.
Who assume that there is some gay agenda.
Yeah. So I don't know how to feel about this, but either people were afraid to send it in because they thought it would get ridiculed or something. I don't know. Or nobody actually thinks there's one, and that's just some fringe group who says an agenda. I don't know.
I think it's safe to say that that people who would say it's all just part of the gay agenda probably don't listen to this show or have stopped listening to the show because they're not getting what they want.
Or they don't have a podcast. They don't know what a podcast is my thinking.
Right, exactly.
They don't know what that is. That internet for radio, a radio for internet? I don't trust that internet. That's the deep state.
Well, Chris with the Twitter handle Ibby85 sent us the gay agenda, like an actual printed gay agenda that says legalized gay marriage. Okay, that one's crossed off.
Mm-hmm.
Buy cute underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Mandatory brunch.
Mm.
Beyonce album on every iPhone. Golden Girls reboot, which I'm sure is just around the corner.
Sure.
Better eyebrows. Bring back 2001 Britney. And stricter punishment for sandal and sock violators.
Nice. I didn't realize that was part of the gay agenda. That's fantastic.
It's actually part of my agenda, too.
We also heard from Richard Burton, which is also a famous name, isn't it? Richard Burton?
Yeah, Richard Burton is...
Who is that, an actor?
King and I think. I mean, he's a famous actor who did... Oh, where Jeannie... This is where Jeannie shouts at us.
Yeah,
I can tell.
She likes
He was married to Taylor, Elizabeth Taylor, for a while.
Yeah.
He was...
There he is.
Antony and Cleopatra.
Yeah, he was
handsome
in that
fella.
That 1984 movie. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Right.
That guy. He is not this person. So I'm going to read.
He did not write us from the grave.
No, this isn't him. This is another Richard Burton who wrote in and says, "As a gay man, I can fully affirm our secretive council meetings center greatly around the governmental takeover with a focus on the following: the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What's that? As Americans, we should already have those rights? Well, then I'll get back to work paying my bills and watching cat videos on Facebook.
I think that was the real Richard Burton.
It might have been.
I'm just going to say.
Might have been. He had a secret. He just, it would have been a better time now for him to come out with it. That's but right. So I got 15 or so of that, almost this exact email.
Yeah.
From people who were both straight and gay, or in their emails said they were straight. Some said they were gay, but they were all saying the same joke, basically, that, yeah, we just kind of want the same rights everyone else has. So yeah. Unless I hear from somebody with some contrary agenda business, I'm putting this one to bed.
Well, I also think that people who use that phrase, who do say that's all just part of the gay agenda, probably don't really have an idea of what they think the gay agenda is, right? I mean, it's just like a thing you say, like, yeah,
that's a deep state.
It's what the liberals want. Mm-hmm. Or so, you know, it's like basically just a, right, it's chemtrails.
Yeah, it's chemtrails, what the chemtrails want. No, but I agree with you. Yeah. And that's why I get mad. My point I was making yesterday, it's why I get mad that nobody, including reporters, ever calls them on it and asks them the question. It says, what is the gay agenda to you then? And no one ever says that. They just go, all right, well, thanks, Bill, for being on CNN. In other news, like, they don't ask.
Right, exactly.
Hold these guys to the fire. Make them say what they're going to say.
Well, what do you think? Tell me what you think is on the gay agenda. Give me two items, three items.
And to be clear here, this is not, honestly, I promise you, you have to believe me, and if you don't, I don't know what to tell you, but I promise you, this is, when I talk to the listeners, this is not me trying to, verbally crucify people on the show with your opinions. I would like to know what you think it is, if you think there's one, because as of yet, in my lifetime, no one has detailed an actual gay agenda other than these self-effacing jokes that I've been getting. So right. So if you feel that way, I'd love to know. It just seems dumb. Again, always ask the question, to what end? And if you can't find the end, maybe there's no conspiracy. I also heard from Chris Hornberger.
Chris Brian, Hornberger.
I love a good Hornberger. It's made from the horn of a rhino. I think
I'll go there for lunch today. I like that. Sounds delicious.
It does sound all right. I don't know what to do today for lunch. I got to do something different than rice and shit in my
leftover
fridge.
Tina made Zuppa Toscana last night. But we were out of kale, so it's kale-less Zuppa Toscana.
Still guess pretty what? Good. Still good.
Sausage, potatoes, onions works just fine for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's not a problem. I think it's good, but it's not, doesn't ruin the soup. In fact, any of those ingredients you could swap in and out and it'd be okay.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, he wrote in about the roach egg. He thinks it's a roach egg. The Reese's Puff that we found.
The ball that you found in your dip.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Not a euphemism.
Found a ball in my dip.
And he wrote in and said, I saw this and I think it might be a roach egg. In fact, he very well, in the email, he says, it's not a Reese's Puff in the subject line, and then went on to say, it could well be a roach egg. Light everything on fire, says Chris Hornberger.
Just to be sure. Nuke it from space.
Chris, you're like the WebMD of what's in my dip.
Right, yes, exactly. It is the worst possible thing that you could imagine being in your dip.
Yeah, you may as well have told me it was a horrible tumor, and I'm going to die in 2 weeks. That's what you could have said.
Right.
But I think he wasn't done listening to the show, so he hadn't gotten to the part where I confirmed it was a Reese's Puff.
Well, no, he said that in the subject line.
No, he sent that, and then he followed up with another email after.
Oh, gotcha. And
said,
gotcha, okay.
I think he goes, oh, I should have listened all the way. I guess it was a Reese's Puff.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
So call off your dogs, Hornberger.
Roaches love dip.
Yeah. I like that term, not to ruin his name. But when we were younger, if somebody was a horny kid in school, you'd call him a horn dog.
A horn dog, yes, exactly. Oh, settle down, horn dog.
Yeah, you're such a horn dog
It's practically a Porky's character, horn dog.
Yeah, I now prefer Hornberger. So if I was to do it over again, I go back to high school and go, dude, you're such a Hornberger. That's what I'd do. I like that a lot better than horn dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, Urel in the chat says, sorry, Scott, your dip is terminal. All right. No,
I'm afraid your dip has only got 3 months left to live.
Man, speaking of which, I'm watching. Yeah. You know, I'm rewatching Breaking Bad, kind of in the background. I'm not really.
Oh, are you really? Okay, wow.
Super focused. It's Tom's fault because we did it for autopilot for Current Geek.
Oh, it's hard. Yeah, I know. I watched.
It's so good.
Like a year ago, I just had it kind of on. I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep watching this, and then other things finally took over, and
it's probably going to happen to me too. But I'm super in, and I'm toward the end of season 2.
Okay.
And I'd forgotten just how rough it was. And I'll say this in a way. I know that spoiler time is way past on this show. Okay.
Good Lord. Yes. I mean, Vince Gilligan himself.
Oh.
The creator of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. He said 2 weeks. We are so past 2 weeks. It's ridiculous.
You've definitely gone past the 2 weeks. So feel free to spoil anything that you feel like spoiling, Scott.
You know,
I'm going to just sit back here. I've got a rocking chair sitting on the porch.
Does he do a podcast where he gets interviewed for Better Call Saul, or is that not a thing?
No, every once in a while he'll appear on the Hardwick Talking Saul or whatever they call it. After show.
I want more of him in my life. I like listening to him. I feel like the world's a better place because he's in it. He's just such a nice little man.
You feel like there's like a temporal field around Vince Gilligan where you step into it and life just slows down. It's like,
I know. Well, this scene I'm going to describe, I'll describe it in a way that is not a spoiler.
I don't even know who the current president is, because when you step into my bubble, it's like a calming wave. Like what do they call those tanks?
Isolation tank. Deprivation. Sleep, deprivation tank, yeah.
Yeah, you step in there and it's you know, you'll have a stuffed animal, pink stuffed animal with one eye ripped out and
that's funny. That's
falling out of its neck, but
that's the season I'm on. That's funny you bring that up. The thing, but he, you know, I think his way of getting rid of stress is making a psycho show about terrible people. I think that's how he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But so I'm going to describe this scene without giving anything away. Let's see if you can get it. Okay.
All right. Really rough business here.
Dr. Whatley.
Yeah.
Is in this place where he has to make a decision whether or not he is going to let Q's daughter, Jessica Jones, choke to death or not.
Wow. It's such a great... You hit that so well by bringing in every other thing that somebody might have seen prior to this.
What's great is the only thing I could do for Walter White was Dr. Whatley, but anyway.
Don't choke the bee in apartment 23. Right. Something you
That's
say.
Pretty good. That's even better. But man, I forgot how that is.
Nobody saw that show.
That is a serious, serious turning point for him.
A tremendous turning point for the series and for the characters, for sure. Yeah.
For everything. Like, that is a pivot for Walt that I just kind of forgot how impactful it was. And what a show. What a hell of a thing. And also, I just got to say, Aaron Paul, who some would say is kind of a little bit one note, like he's sort of the same and everything. Oh. I think he's amazing in this series. And he is so good after that point. He's so good. Yeah. He deserves huge praise for his performance. It's amazing.
This will end up, I will tell you that this will end up on a future recommendals, but we are watching the most recent season of The Path, which just ended. And talk about a turning point for both Aaron Paul and the character he plays on that show.
Oh, that's good to know. I'm behind. I'd like to catch up on that. I like that show.
So good.
I got as far as season two, and then I just got busy and I haven't gone back, but I'll go back.
Yeah. I think it's only season three, so.
Yeah. Well, I like that show. Oh, they're only third? Yeah. Oh, I'm not that far behind.
You're not that far behind.
I can just binge it now. I'll just go binge it.
You could, yeah. I mean, just do that. Just binge it. Just do it.
Bingy McBingy Pants. And then a final thank you goes out, before we call Dunaway, to the listenership of this show. I put out a request for somebody to find me rap that wasn't necessarily all about hoes and money. And I say hoes in the rap way, not me thinking.
Hear the rap music today. It's all just fat stacks of cash and how many people I'm fornicating.
Basically,
it's all they talk about.
Basically, yeah. Like, I wanted something more poetic. There was a lot of chat room chatter about Kendrick Lamar, that kind of stuff. And not even so much positive. Right. I just wanted something, like, I wanted some concept albums. I wanted some trippy beats and stuff that wasn't just your typical... get on my tip, and if you find me, I'll have a gun, and then we'll just get some honeys, and don't forget to drink your Patron. Like, I'm good with that. I have plenty of that in my life. I wanted something else, and man, did people deliver. People showed up in droves in my Twitter DMs and on Twitter public and emails saying, Scott, dude, you got to check this out. And one of them in particular, oh, did I write the name down and I've forgotten it already? Wait, it's on my phone.
Okay.
Because I listened to it this morning while I was jogging. It is called Splendor and Misery. This is the one I want to recommend the most. And everything everyone sent is awesome. And if you still have ideas, feel free. If I don't reply to everybody, I apologize. I got tons of feedback on this, but it's called Splendor and Misery. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, all the places you get music, by a a rap group called Clipping. I don't know if it's a group or a dude. It sounds like a group to me. I haven't looked that deep into who they are, but it's a concept album about a dude that's trapped in space on a ship all alone. But it's rap, dude.
That's
like,
cool.
It's not, you know, like here's a, let me give you a little taste.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Experience
immersive.
Come on, see, check, check, Doctors Tom. And nurses up.
What you gonna do about
anyway, it's really good, and it's all about this dude who's stuck in a spaceship in space. Kind of, a little bit of Major Tom ground control kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
In terms of the kind of the story they're telling.
The topic, the subject, yeah.
Yeah, a little space madness in there, and it's totally rubbing me the right way. So
I'm guessing you didn't hear the thing I just did.
What'd you do? I missed it.
I did ground control to Major Tom as a rap.
Oh, I totally missed it. Yeah. Crap. I wish I'd have heard that now. Do it again for the world. Do it again.
I think the world heard it.
They didn't hear it.
Ground control to Major Tom.
There you go.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
It's a very early Run DMC era rap you've got there. You know, with the
it's absolutely Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Furious Five.
There you go. Yeah, whatever I hear, audience hears.
Recognition and the guys love being with you.
If I don't hear, they don't hear it. So I'm glad they heard it. There you go, guys. Take that home with you. Gave you something awesome. All right. Let's move on down the road.
Sure.
What do you think about Dunaway in the light of things?
I like the idea of bringing a Brian Dunaway into the mix here.
Oh, weird.
Gives us a chance to talk about his favorite movie in the world that blew up Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, that was a big deal. Oh, actually, that is something I do want to talk to him about. I'm glad you brought that up. I would have totally forgotten. Okay, let's play this theme. I guess the chat room did hear it. I didn't hear it. I guess I was too loud in my own head. Hey, Brian Dunaway, you there, buddy?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh,
well, hello.
Hello. It's so good to hear your voice.
I think the thing that blew up Twitter yesterday, we should talk about after trivia.
Oh, okay. Because it may impact trivia, is what you're saying.
Who knows? It may. It may not. I don't know. It may.
Okay. Well, I don't want to mess with things.
We didn't. Come on. Blew up Twitter. I don't know about blew up Twitter.
Positively or negatively affect.
No one,
it warmed up Twitter, possibly.
No one ever truly blows up Twitter, right? It's not really a thing that happens.
Right, no. Yeah, I mean, there's things that cause... listen, the dude who wanted retweets for free Wendy's chicken fingers blew up Twitter. No one else has blown up Twitter since that.
That's true. Good point. Yeah, so since we're not blowing up Twitter, instead we're going to talk to you there, Brian Dunaway, who comes on the show and does a little segment called Stump Dunaway. Part of it is you people at home get to call in and try to win some prizes.
Who are you calling you people? Y'all don't know me.
These people. So, hold on. Almost sneezed. Just a second. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Look at that. You're using the sneeze button?
No, I didn't. I just held it in.
Oh, that's not good.
No, I know. I know.
That's not safe. You don't want to do that.
It's going to get an elbow tumor.
You know what they say. If you hold in a sneeze too long, it turns into a shart.
Really?
I don't think anyone says that.
Oh.
Yeah, I think the they in this context is you.
Yeah, I've gone plural when I should have been singular. All right, let's take a call. We got this one coming in right here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Wes.
Well, hello, Wes. Wes, where do you hail from?
I'm in Texas.
Texas, yeah. What town in Texas are you in?
Just outside of Beaumont, Texas.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Beaumont. I like Beaumont.
Are you in the witness protection program?
No,
you sounded hesitant to tell us where you're from.
It's just so small, you'd never even recognize it.
Nah, that's cool. I like a little town. I'm a big fan of small towns, so I'm jealous in a way. One of these days, I'm telling you, I have two extremes that I'm interested in. I want to either retire on the top floor suite of a building downtown in the middle of everything, or I want to be way out in the middle of nowhere, hopefully with good internet, but way out in the middle of nowhere with just like a farm and a couple of cows and some chickens and stuff. Like that's
you want to live in one of two worlds, and one of those worlds is the Mad Max Fury Road world.
Oh yeah, that's the other one. There's a third option.
Kind of the tomb. Well, okay, I kind of lumped the whole plains,
right.
Ponderosa, Tombstone.
Sure, That's what I want.
I predict disappointment for Scott's retirement.
I'm not going to get either of those.
Either of those scenarios.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get either of those, but I wouldn't mind either. Either one is equally exciting to me as an option. Anyway, let's get to it. Wes and Beaumont, Brian Ibbett's now going to explain how this contest works and what you could win.
That's right. I'll give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, Wes, and they'll go back and forth with answers for that topic. If they give a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win's going to go to the other player. The prize today is a carryover from Monday, the copy of Return of the King Special Edition DVD set, like the deluxe 15-disc edition, plus a copy of X-Men Origins Wolverine, just so you can fully appreciate how good Return of the King is. And I'm even adding today a leather Rebel Alliance keychain.
Ooh.
And the game Rebel. The game Poncho on Steam.
Oh, I have Poncho. Poncho's good.
Good. Well, yeah. Somebody else will have it now.
It's not racist either.
It's it's not all about you, Scott. Yeah. Now someone else has it.
Yeah, now someone else has it.
The wall? Is that the game?
No. It's about it's shooting dudes. It's a lot of fast shooting going on, dual stick shootery stuff. Cool. It's good. It's a good game.
All right, very good. But before anybody can start, I'm going to give them their topic, and they can start thinking about it while I tell Wes I ask Wes who he's going to pick to win. So your topic today, and I'm going to even give you a choice.
Oh wow!
You're going to be looking at
who gets the choice, Wes, or we get the choice. Who gets the choice here?
You and Brian will get to make this choice first.
All right.
And then once you made that choice, then I'm going to ask Wes who he prefers. But your topic today is top grossing box office films for Keanu Reeves. Okay. And I'm going to give you your choice for Keanu Reeves. And I'm going to give you your choice of either actual or adjusted for inflation. Tickets.
What do you think, Dunaway? We should probably choose together here. What do you like?
So adjusted or actual? Oh,
feels like adjusted should be the way to go because we'd want to be able to say this is still his biggest movie or worst movie or whatever.
So you're going to say adjusted for ticket price inflation?
If you're okay with that, Dunaway, that's my vote.
I am good. I am good with that.
All right.
And I'm going to say, and it's the top 15 films.
I was about to say,
we'd be going on here forever.
Yeah.
So the top 15 films, you guys will get a chance to go back and forth and make your guesses. And as soon as one of you makes the wrong guess or a repeated guess or whatever, then you're out. Wes.
Repeated guess.
Yeah.
It could happen.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Wes, knowing that and knowing what these guys know about movies, who do you think is going to come out on top in this one?
I love this new game.
Well, hey, before I pick a person, could I mention something?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
please do. Yes.
Well, I'm actually the guy who sent you the email from yesterday.
Oh.
About the cat goopers.
Oh, we can clear this up. We can clear this up because Dunaway laughs because he knows what this is. Don't you? When you say cat, when you say cat goobers or whatever, you're talking about a wiener, right?
Yes, that's like a southern sort of like out in the country sort of slang word for penis, for wiener.
Cat penis or for anybody's penis? Like, are you saying, oh man?
No, for anybody's. Like, it's just a word that you would say for anybody.
All right. So
that's why my mother was so upset about this bag full of.
See, and now it makes sense.
Literally, she thought it was a bag of dicks.
Yeah, she thought it was a bag of dicks. This is amazing. Okay. No, I got your email and I'm glad we got you because now we can clear it up on the air. Absolutely. That's why we were so confused because Brian and I are like goobers. It's like boogers or like, what's a goober? Like goobers are a candy you can go buy. You can buy goobers at the movie theater.
Right,
so
right.
To find out you brought back a bag of wieners is pretty freaking funny. Anyway, well done. That's pretty awesome. All right. So who do you think of the two of us who are going to get this right?
I'm gonna go with Scott today.
So. Safe bet, buddy.
All right,
good choice.
All right, so Brian, what do you want us to do? Just
Scott,
we will flip the coin to see who goes first. Scott, I'll let you choose heads or tails.
Heads, please.
Heads is correct.
Okay.
Scott, you will begin. Heads is correct. All right. These are top Keanu Reeves' top grossing films
of the last 15 years.
No, the top 15
not 15
top
years.
Grossing Keanu
ever
Reeves
ever films. Movies he ever made.
Yes.
Okay. The Matrix.
The Matrix is number 2 on the list. Good job.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Is that the whole series or is that
just the Matrix?
The Matrix
was that all in one movie, Brian?
Well, that's what I'm asking because you very specifically hinted that if you answered the same twice,
hey Brian,
you're gonna ding me.
Hey Brian,
trust you.
I'm gonna say James Bond is the movie. I want James Bond to be my answer. All 17 of them.
Yeah.
Don't trust
if it was released as a second movie or as as a different movie, I'd say it's perfectly acceptable as a guess.
Yeah.
Well, then we might as well go the Matrix wait, well, you know what? I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to let Scott name all the Matrixes. I'm going to go with my other favorite, which is Speed.
Speed. That is number 3 on the list. Very good.
Oh, Speed was going to be my next one. Oh, boy. I may as well... I mean, I know those were bad movies, but I may as well mention them. The Matrix Reloaded?
The Matrix Reloaded is the number 1 top grossing box office.
That movie Keanu Reeves film. How disappointed were we then?
That is an excellent film.
Shut up.
This might be the best science fiction film ever released.
Ugh. All right, your turn.
All right. Very. I want to move my little checker piece in and go, I kind of want to almost say Johnny Mnemonic just to annoy Ibbit because I know how much he loves that movie, but I know that was not a really good.
It's the only movie Ibbit ever walked out on, right, Brian? Is that the one?
It was the only movie I ever walked out of the theater. Yeah.
Right.
And we made him do it for film.
Okay, so he watched the whole thing.
I'm gonna sweep Scott's legs from underneath him and go with the third Matrix movie because even though it was great.
Do you have a title?
Do you
have a title for that
Is it? Was it Reloaded and Revolution?
Revolution is right. Yeah, the Matrix Revolutions. Very good.
All
right.
Yeah,
I'll take
it. Which always confused me. I'm like, which one is 2 and which one's 3 again?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. Both released in 2003. Crazy.
Yeah.
Really?
Both terrible. Yeah, they were like 6 months apart or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna go with one that I heard on the radio at the time beat its original box office, so I at least feel safer that it's more money than the first one. I don't know if it's top 10 though, so I'm a little nervous about this. I assume it should have been because it was awesome. John Wick 2
or John Wick Chapter 2 is number 12 on the list. Not top 10, but it's top 15, and that's what we're looking for, so well done. Yep.
Well, that kind of just blew away what I was going to do, which was going to be part 1, but Scott just hinted that 2 made more than 1.
It did.
He kind of helped you out,
and
didn't he?
It just barely eked in at 12. So, I'm trying to think of...
I'm running out of them now. I don't know what else to do.
Right?
Yeah,
I'm kind of wanting to say Speed 2, but I'm keeping my finger on the checker piece because I'm just not. It just seems like people really didn't want to go see that movie even before it came out.
Did you see Speed 2?
I'm going to go.
Have you seen Speed 2?
Of course, I've seen Speed 2.
Oh, okay. Well then. Of course, I do. All right. Okay. I know why Brian's asking. Go ahead.
I don't want to. Oh. I don't know. I'm going to go with unconventional and go with, it was so huge. I even had it on Laserdisc. I just have to think that it did well.
Okay.
A Walk in the Clouds.
A Walk in the Clouds. That is number 10 on the list.
What?
Well done, sir. Yes.
Oh, I was so nervous. I did not think that would make top. Ah, oh, wow. Yeah.
What is that? What is awesome. That? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Romance. That's a great movie. Romantic piece, right? Period.
He comes back from the war, and he's got it. He goes out to sell chocolates, and he meets this hot-headed young lady who's pregnant. It's a great movie.
No memory of this. Zero. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, damn it. Okay. So that was in there? Shit.
That's in there. That was number 10.
All right. I'm going to go from recent memory of a recommendal you made recently. I think it was you. May have been Nicole. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing at the time that it was a surprise hit for its, at least for its budget, but I don't know if this is top 10, 15. Parenthood?
Parenthood is number 4 on the list.
Oh,
yes.
Shut up, dude.
It was huge. Huge for Keanu Reeves.
I have never seen. I've never even seen Parenthood.
Oh, you should. Parenthood's awesome. The show is a lot different, but yeah. It's great. It's a great movie.
Even without tickets adjusted for inflation, and that might be one of his earliest roles. Certainly, might be one of the earlier movies on the list. Even with tickets adjusted for inflation, without that, it's number 6 on the regular box office.
I'm glad though that we're doing the adjusted for inflation because I feel like
I think you should be. You should be glad.
Yeah, it'd be really hard. All right, Brian, back to you, buddy. Right, this Brian. Is getting
Balls
intense.
In your court.
I'm kind of there's a bunch of movies he did that I just don't think did well at the box office. I'm gonna put my finger on Lake House, but I'm gonna pull it right back because Scott said something that made me think. It was a big budget film, and when he said John Wick 2, actually what he said was that it did better than the first one. I thought he was talking about the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. That was a pretty big budget film, and I gotta think I don't remember people saying that it was a box office bomb, so I'm thinking it's got to be up there.
All right.
Yes, that is number 11. Well
what?
Done.
I thought that movie tanked.
It didn't, it pulled in $100 million, adjusted gross, $100 million, making it number 11.
Is that
11
more than the original?
I don't know what the original made.
I mean, he wasn't in the original. I'm just saying. I was just curious.
Yeah.
I'm looking here. Oh, and that was number 9 on the unadjusted. So, yeah, it still was a hit.
I'm so tempted. I'm so tempted to go Bill and Ted, but I just think it's outside. Ooh. So I'm not doing that yet.
Is that over? Is this all? This is just box office receipts.
It's
so it
like
include
it's
like all the DVD sales and all.
Right,
that
exactly.
Right.
Box office only, and I don't know what. I mean, DVD sales seems like that's where that movie's, got a lot of late game success. But so I'm not going to say that one. I'm going to say another one where he plays a small part. I remember it being a big deal and made a bunch of money at the time. And I remember Gary Oldman with the crazy hairdo in Vampires.
That was it.
Dracula. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. Yeah. Very good. Yes. Number 7 on the list. Oh. Good job.
I totally forgot about him being in that.
Right through
it
the uprights.
So long.
He was Mina's boyfriend, right? The one. I mean, basically, he's the main non-vampire character that comes to try and kill.
Yeah.
I know why I don't remember him being in that because. For some reason, every time I hear about Bram Stoker's Dracula, I always confuse it with Interview with a Vampire.
Really? Oh,
right. And that is terrible to confuse.
I agree. Even Anne Rice wouldn't like you for that.
No.
Yeah. Roughly around the same time, too, weren't they? I mean,
ish.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, all I can think about, seriously, you say Bram Stoker's Dracula, I just think of Gary Oldman with the butthead hair.
Yeah, the butthead hair. That's what I think of. And then the Simpsons did it with Mr. Burns had the same hair. It was awesome.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's more what I think of, too.
Yep. I love that episode.
All right. Very good. Back over to you, Brian.
God,
look at you
how
guys.
How many movies has Keanu Reeves been in? Jeez,
I have one more. I got one more in the shooter, and then I don't know anything else.
I got to admit, I have one more, and I'm hoping...
You've made 9 of the top 15. I will say that this is very impressive. You guys are doing great. If you nail all 15, then the winner, Wes automatically, if Wes is still awake, he automatically gets the prizes.
This is way too much pressure. Oh, my God. Okay, so we did one on Film Sack not too long ago, and I know it did well at the box office, and we did say it was adjusted we were doing?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just adjusted.
So it's a little bit older, but is Point Break.
Oh, I forgot about Point Break.
Point
is that in the top 15.
Number 13 on the list. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That is a that qualifies. Very good.
Frick. All right. Now I'm nervous. If that was 13, I think the one I have in my head is maybe screwed, but I'm going to do it anyway. Wes, I hope this is right, buddy. Constantine?
What? That,
no way. No.
From 2005. Number nine on
yes!
the list.
What? Yes.
What?
Put that in your cheese and melt it, buddy.
There's no way that was in the top 15.
Wow. You guys have four movies left on this top 15. You guys are kicking butt.
This has never happened before.
How in the world did Constantine do that well? I can't even imagine.
How did it do better than, like, John Wick Chapter 2, for example?
Right?
No kidding.
God, I'm tempted to say John Wick 1, even though we know it didn't do as well as the first one. It still had, well, no, not the box office. It really had, it hit a stride when it went to video, right?
Sure, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're like, we're going to give you help.
Oh, I am out of top 10. And did you say Bill and Ted?
I didn't say it.
I think we talked about it.
I'm holding on to it.
Nobody said Bill and Ted yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to either go with Bill and Ted or, okay, I'm just going to say John Wick.
John Wick 1?
I'm just going to say it.
John Wick?
1. John Wick 1.
John Number Wickle. 22 on the
list.
Outside the top 10.
Whoa. Oh my gosh, dude. I would have totally, I would have lost because that was going to be, if you wouldn't have done it, I was doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
If you would have said either of the Bill and Ted movies, number 14 and number 15 on the list, Bill and Ted and Bill and Ted Bogus Journey, on the list.
Oh, wow.
Oh, in the final two slots? You're kidding.
The final two slots. The other ones you didn't get, Something's Gotta Give.
Yeah? What the hell's that?
The Jack Nicholson thing. With,
I don't think
Diane
I saw
Keaton.
That one.
I'm looking at the chat again now because we mute that normally.
And The Devil's Advocate. With Al Pacino is the devil.
I forgot about that movie even existing.
Oh,
that's even a thing.
That's amazing.
Well done.
He's a lawyer.
This is what that means.
Congratulations.
It means you win.
You're a winner.
All you got to do is send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com, and he will hook you up. You did really well, Wes, and so did you, Brian Dunaway, but sadly, my prowess eked you out once again
in
this fantastic new thing we do. I really enjoy it.
this is a fun one too.
Yeah.
Let's see. You mentioned Johnny Mnemonic, 26 on the list. Glad you didn't say that one.
Mm-hmm.
Lake House, number 18. So that was out. Dangerous Liaisons, just out of the top 15.
Where's the River's Edge? Where's that on there?
Oh wow, the first ever thing I ever remember Keanu Reeves in, not even on my list.
Not on the list. Poop.
Yeah, not in the top. Not even in the top 30.
How about this recent hideous thing I watched? What's the name of it? It won't even be on there.
Was it a Squarespace ad?
No. Can't remember. It was some dumb thing.
The ones that I knew that were kind of like smaller, that didn't feel like it did really well at the box office, is stuff like Phil in Minnesota, Scanner Darkly.
Oh, yeah. Scanner Darkly. Yep. That's
Scanner
the one
Darkly,
I'm thinking
not
of.
Even on the list. 47 Ronin. Yeah. Just under I Love You to Death, Street Kings, Hardball.
Yeah. Oh, we want to. So, we real quick here, Speed 2 did not have Keanu Reeves in it.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
you know what? I would have.
Yeah, Speed 2. I'm glad you didn't say Speed 2.
Right.
You came
had
really
Lost
close.
Boys, dude. Whatever his name is. Yeah. Like
that's why
maggots.
You asked me if I'd ever seen Speed 2. I think I've seen Speed 1 twice.
Yeah, Speed 2 is garbage. Good.
It's got your Sandra Bullock, but she has to drive something else fast. A cruise ship, I guess.
Speed 1's on my list of perfect action movies. I love Speed 1. Speed 1's fantastic.
It is the absolute formula. Yeah. I think we need to, if Speed 2 ever shows up on Netflix, I think it's a guaranteed sack.
Oh, we have to. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You want to guarantee a sack, put Speed 2 in there. That's how you guarantee it.
Exactly.
Dunaway, take it easy. The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Have fun. Be good. Talk to you later. Yeah, well done. That was fun.
I know totally that went fun. Long, but it was a lot of fun. I don't think anybody's going to be complaining about
it. No, it was a great. I love that game. I think that's the game to do.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
Hey, check it out. It's the morning news brought to you by
Brought to you by, I'm trying to decide if I'm going to let listeners of TMS in on the secret. I am going to let them in on the secret. Today's Coverville is going to be Theater of the Mind. I will have, quote unquote, brought a few listeners into the studio for a tour of Coverville, the tour of the warehouse in which I do the show. And while that's all going on, songs about candy. So I don't know if there's anything related, anything you can maybe draw conclusions from that. That's going to be today at 1 p.m. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then you should definitely check it out. It should be a fun show. But
I want candy. Is that one of them?
That's one of them. Yeah, okay. It'll be a cover of Bow Wow Wow. Actually, Bow Wow Wow did a cover. Their version was a cover of the Strange Loves version of that song.
See, you always know these things. I would assume that was the only one that was ever made.
Yep. Nope.
Let me think of another candy song.
Okay. It doesn't even have to have the word candy in the name. Like, it could be a type of candy.
Well, they do have that stripper, the stripper in season 3 of Breaking Bad. Her name's Candy, and they have a song about her. Maybe that's one of your songs.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Okay. I can't think
of
anything.
How about a song by
Brown
Marcy
Sugar.
Playground?
Brown Sugar.
Oh, how about a song by Marcy Playground?
Sex and Candy. There you go. All right. I knew it. Good thing that wasn't on the trivia today. Wes will be going home empty.
Right, exactly. So that is going to be on today's Coverville, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live.
Sounds awesome. Check this out. A woman discovered her real dad is her parents' fertility doctor.
Oh.
Oops.
She took a... well, I guess he... You know, why if you can't do something right, do it yourself or something like that.
That's probably what the guy was thinking, right? He's sitting around going, you know, it just doesn't take him. We don't know why. It's just, I'm going to go ahead and put my own unit in there and see what we can get done. Ancestry.com DNA test is how she found out. Kelly Rowlett, age 36, reportedly taking legal action after finding out that her doctor, Dr. Gerald E. Mortimer, oh my Lord.
Gerald Mortimer.
I'm Dr. Mortimer.
Super villain. Gerald Mortimer.
I have placed my semen in your cup. The lawsuit claims the doctor was aware he used his own sperm to impregnate the mom when she and her husband went in for help in the early 80s. This according to the Daily Beast. Rowlett was reportedly unaware her parents had turned to artificial insemination after struggling to conceive. But she said to have been even more shocked to allegedly discover that her dad was the doctor they asked for help. To increase their chances of fertility, the couple reportedly agreed to a mix of the husband's sperm and other matching donors, noting they preferred college students more than 6 feet tall. Burying the lead, Brian. Burying the lead.
Exactly. We're looking for 6 feet and taller college students.
Well, maybe he was 6 feet tall doctor and went to college to be a doctor.
Maybe.
So
wait, what about this guy? He's a doctor. He went to college. Maybe patient X should consider.
Yeah, he's tall. Nurse, I'll be right back, he says.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a thing.
Jeez.
Please stop smoking weed in the drive-thru. This is what Sonic is asking its customers.
Snoop. should be the headline. Please stop smoking weed in the drive-thru, Snoop.
Yeah, we know who's doing this. Snoop Dogg with two G's, D-O-double-G.
Snoopy Poopy Poop Dog.
Poop Dog. Anyway, fast food and restaurant chain, Sonic, the one in Gulfport, Mississippi. That's my wife's from down there. Has a message for anyone smoking marijuana on the drive-thru line. Attention, a lamented sign, or laminated sign, has made me lamented as well. Reads in the window of the Sonic on 17th Street, if you are smoking weed in the drive-thru, you will not be served. Please show some common courtesy and smoke and air out before pulling up to order. This is all according to store manager Yasman Freeman. Yasman Freeman's a great name.
It is,
Said the sign was posted about 2 weeks ago after a patron blew smoke in the face of an underage employee. Not cool.
That is uncool. You know, talk about ruining it for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, probably wouldn't need to have the sign if somebody didn't, like, go overboard. You know, smoking pot in your car, whatever, drive up, hey, let me have my milkshake and my Frosty or whatever it's called there.
Yeah, what are Frost? I like those. Those are good.
Is it a freeze?
It's always like...
Arctic blaster.
Little freezer blaster units. Blaster, icer... Sonic Blast. Sonic Blast? Sonic
Maybe
3.
Sonic Blast. Yeah, that might be it. Sonic Blast.
Sonic,
sure.
Sonic and Knuckles.
Let's say it's the Sonic Blast.
All right.
Yeah, people are saying, people are confirming Sonic Blast.
All right, there you go.
Leave me at my blast, man. But somebody had to go over the top and like blow it into him.
Yeah. It's my least favorite Genesis title.
Hey, little dude, want to come tag tie?
Yeah. Yeah, all you can do is stand there grooving on it, as Homer would say. yeah, it's my least favorite Sonic game. I didn't like Sonic Blast very much.
No.
It may have actually been a game called Sonic Blast. That might be why I'm remembering it. Hold on. Sonic Blast game. May have been a Game Gear game. Sonic Blast. Yeah. Okay. Now, so you're right. It is called a Sonic Blast, but also there's a game called Sonic Blast.
Okay.
It's a Game Gear game. Yeah, I owned this. Okay. Yep. Now it all makes sense. There it is, everybody.
I bet you owned it. I think probably came with your Game Gear, right? It feels like it was a pack-in game.
Probably. Because they were having a hard time selling those.
It was either that or... Rise!
Rise from your grave! Except he would say, rise from your grave!
Exactly. Yep.
It's terrible. What was that? Altered Beast.
Altered Beast, yeah.
Video games, I remember those. I can't remember any other names but video game names. Hey, there's a mysterious pickle jar that keeps popping up on a ramp on the I-270 highway.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Just keeps appearing there?
That's what they say. Hundreds of people are following a Facebook page dedicated to a mysterious pickle jar that has been spotted on the ramp northbound I-270 from Manchester near West County Center. The jar has been appearing on the ramp intermittently for the past few years. Years!
Wow.
Not days, not weeks, not months. Years. They have survived Snowmageddon, construction, and... protesters. Why'd you have to survive a protester? I don't get that. So someone didn't kick it over or eat it.
Protesting that ramp. We hate the ramp.
It's really
we hate the ramp.
Ah, these pickles are here. Ah, kick them over. We hate this ramp.
I'm sure it's some homeless guy. It's his jar of pickles, and he's like, you know, he goes and he finds somebody's garden that has cucumbers in it. Mm-hmm. He goes and grabs them, puts them in his pickle jar, and walks around.
Yeah, I think you've just solved the whole mystery.
Daniel J. Newman, well done, sir. What's the deal with that?
What's the deal? Get it? D-I-L-L? Get it? Yeah. Daniel J. Newman, you win today's dumb joke of the day. anyway, nobody knows what it's for, so they're all trying to figure it out. Final story before we take a break and bring Tom in here. Two boys tried to steal a pizza delivery car. Just a car with a pizza delivery thing on top of it. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as like a dedicated one. Well, I guess there are if you buy a fleet or something.
Sure. Have them painted to look like Pizza Hut cars or whatever.
Yeah. But it's not like they were manufactured to be pizza cars. Anyway.
Right.
I don't know why I had to clarify any of that for anyone. I really don't.
JK Grammer just posted the video of Rise from Your Grave.
Oh, good. Let's hear it for real here. Yep.
Rise from Your Grave.
Oh, it's so crummy.
He's talking through a box of paper clips or something.
Of paper clips. That's a weird thing to put.
It's got a very metallic sound to it.
I mean, I know we weren't great at sound stuff like that back then, but that's pretty funny. That game's not great. Codes from Home, you need to play it again. It's okay for what it was when it was, but...
I'd scroller, sure.
It's not... It doesn't really hold up. Anyway, two boys tried to steal this delivery car, but they could not get away because they couldn't drive a stick.
Wah, wah.
Rogelio Sebastian, age 14, and Miguel Garcia, age 12, were busted last week after attempting to steal a Domino's delivery man's car. But their plan foiled upon learning the car was a stick shift. They were too young, and they don't know how to drive a stick.
Yeah, aww.
Yeah. They left the car running and ran. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. They tried to flee.
Well, the key element here, bringing a pie to Garcia's neighbor. Mm. He left the car running in the driveway as he went to make the delivery. And then he tried to give the resident their pizza, but they denied they ordered one.
Adds
a little bit of a wrinkle to this story.
Maybe they had a whole plan except for the stick shift. They'd have made it, too, if it wasn't for your kids and your stupid stick shift. They said, by the way, the people that don't call a Domino's pizza a pie, all right? Not you, but people in general, I mean.
Why?
Because it's the least pizza pie pizza ever made. It's a piece of thin garbage poop.
Okay. So other pizzas can be referred to as pie, but Domino's is unpie-like.
It's too nice of a term for what they make. I don't think, I mean, well, whatever. Once in a while I have.
I see what you're saying. Cardboy, you've had bad Domino's action. Did you ever use your freebie? You did, didn't you?
I did. And the freebie was better than the, I think we talked about it, but the freebie was better than the one that was ruined. Mm-hmm. And I don't hate them now. They were very nice to me and everything, yeah, but it still left a dirty turd in my bowl. You know? Yeah. That's a euphemism.
That's a euphemism. Well, it could be. Maybe not.
Euphemistically, we are going to now pass the torch to a song. Before Tom gets here, Tom will be here talking about tech. He's already in the chat, I see, arguing my point about whether pizza's a pie or not.
That's right.
So we'll get to that in a second. And before that, though, let's lead us in there with something toony, if you got
sure,
it.
Sure. We're going to go to Ireland, to Belfast. A guy named Paul Archer, who performs under the name Burning Codes. He actually contributed vocals to Snow Patrol's Eyes Open album, which was really good. He's got a brand new album that's coming out. The album is called Lost Leader. Comes out April 6th, so that's Friday. So if you like this, you don't have too long to wait to go get more of it. I think you might like this. Dude, this rocks, and it sounds like Irish rock. So I'm hoping people really enjoy this. He's been featured on BBC Radio 1, BBC 6 Music, BBC Radio Ulster, Cambridgeshire, and many other radio stations locally and nationally, as well as independent radio in Europe. The new song is the title track from his upcoming album, Lost Leader. Here is Burning Codes.
Oh, hold on. There it is. Okay, quick note. I think it's the perfect name song for Tom as a lead-in because it's Lost Leader, and he talks about those all the time. So that's fantastic.
Right? Good.
Nice pick. Good call. Here it is, Lost Leader. We'll be right back. Is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products for you to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. They're designed by humans for humans and combine multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface that is just the right sink, just the right bounce. Casper's breathable design Helps you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature throughout the night. I didn't want to get up from mine this morning. It's too comfortable. They're not just any mattress company either. They offer a wide array of products to ensure an overall better sleep experience. And they're made right here in the U.S. of A. Buying them is easy. You order online, delivered to your door in a compact box, free shipping and free returns in the U.S. and Canada, and you get a free risk-free 100-day trial. That's a risk-free 100-day trial. Imagine 100 days using the mattress, making your decision whether you want to keep it or not. Considering we spend a third of our lives on a mattress, it's important to truly sleep on a mattress before committing. That's why Casper gives you 100 nights to try it out. I love mine. You'll love yours. Here's what I want you to do. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and use the promo code morningstream at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. That's $50 toward those mattresses by visiting casper.com/morningstream and use that promo code Morning Stream.
State troopers are on duty 24 hours a day. When one goes off duty, another goes on and may use the same car. Since 1972, more than 90 trooper cars using Haviland Super Premium All-Temperature Motor Oil were driven over 4 million miles. Of the engines taken apart, none showed any sign of unusual wear. With Haviland's formulation, you get all this protection without buying any extra motor oil additives. Get Haviland Super Premium Motor Oil.
Oh, hit the eight.
The Morning Stream. I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
Yeah, you remember that, don't you?
Yeah, it's Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger.
Sticking his tongue through the phone.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
I'm going to kiss. Burr.
So some may have noticed I left for a minute, came back with a snake. Now, Norman here, my snake.
Oh, look at that.
He's a ball python, and I just want people to see how he's all shiny, silvery, and cracky because he's about to shed. Mm-hmm. And I wanted some quick advice. He has a horrible time shedding. It comes off real slow for him, so sometimes I have to rinse him underwater or something to kind of soften him up, because he just doesn't shed like his other snake brethren do. So if anyone has any cool ideas, I don't know, is there a kind of snake lotion thing I can use?
I think it's oil. I know where I can get you. I'll send you a link to a place where you can buy some.
Really? Is that a real thing?
Snake oil?
Brian's going to sell me snake oil? I get it. But for real, like, is there a way? Because rinsing him isn't doing it, and I feel bad for him, and he's all crusty, and it takes
whatever
him forever.
You do, don't look at WebMD.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. All right, Brian, entertain the troops while I run this back. Hang on, I'll be right back.
All right, okay. Well, let's see. We got Tom coming up here. You know, maybe instead of... never mind. Tom's listening, so we can't ask Tom what three words we make Tom say. So I guess three words we can make Scott say. Three words, people. And Tom and I can work together to do it.
I made it.
Oh, good. All right. Thank goodness.
Whew. That was close.
Okay. Right.
Should we get Ace Detect in here?
Let's get Ace Detect in here.
I think that's a great idea. I'm actually pretty fond of all things Tom, and we're about to find out more.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt, all the way from the Daily Tech News Show in Los Angeles, California. Tom, welcome.
Hello, Tom.
You know what? There is oil for snakes.
Is there really?
And it's hilarious to see how the brands really try hard to not use the word snake oil.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, look at this. Quart of snake. Yeah, they have Fluker's liquid vitamin reptile oil.
Yeah.
Okay, and I wonder, maybe this is answering my exact question. Maybe this is what I need, is one of these. Brian, your joke may have put me in the right direction.
Maybe, look at that.
I like it. Tom
Be
came
careful
in.
Of the salesman, that's yeah. all. That's
yeah, exactly, yeah.
We'd
actually like to hire you to help sell our lotions that are used for snake. We know understand your business.
Our emoluments for reptiles.
You know what freaks me out?
Gels,
this is what freaks me out. I started typing "what does snake oil," and then the first Google recommendation was cure. People are asking Google what snake oil cures.
What is snake oil actually good for?
Right.
I get that it's misused.
Yeah. It'll cure what ails you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good Very for odd. What ails you. By the way, the whole pizza pie thing, I like Ibbot misunderstood you at first, but I fully support your contention that Domino's should not be called pizza pie.
Yeah.
Although it did put me in the mind of cow pie.
Oh, I'm glad.
So
you know,
if you're calling Domino's pizza pie in the cow pie sense, then.
Good point.
This is a good shade you're throwing there.
Of course, I don't know. Very pies.
The world's most popular delivered pizza. I'm just saying the word pie denotes something beyond the basic.
Uno's makes a pizza pie.
Right. I have a place here called The Pie, and they make a pizza pie. And it's fantastic, and I would call it a pie. But I ain't calling. I ain't, that sliver of nightmare that they bring me once in a while at Domino's is not a pie.
Yeah, I mean, by your contention, St. Louis style pizza, which is kind of a cracker crust kind of thing, would not be a pie in the strictest sense. Either.
That sounds really good, by the way.
Well, I've never heard of St. Louis style pizza.
Mm.
Oh yeah, no, it's the best. Best place that I like to get it is actually in Greenville, Illinois, at Mario's Pizza. I say it every chance I can get.
Yeah.
It's right there in downtown, across from the courthouse.
Really, Mario's though? Mario's? They called themselves Mario's. All right.
No, it's because Mario Menino moved to Greenville in 19. 19- 78.
Oh, Scott. Oh, look at that. Like, assuming.
Listen, my stereotype radar is not working great today. I don't know.
I think Luigi, his son, now basically runs the place, so maybe they ought to change it. Yeah, and I'm not kidding. His son's name is Luigi.
Shut up. Really? His name is Luigi?
It's Leo.
Oh, my gosh. You had me there. You had me. That would
Middle
have been
name
fantastic.
Is Luigi. Leo Luigi.
Yeah, and there's always some jerk driving by named Wario. He's going, your pizza sucks.
No, but it really is Mario, and his son Leo runs the place now, as far as I can tell.
I would
Joe,
eat there.
The oldest son, which my age, is like super smart, doing like super smart things.
I would eat everything you're talking about. Sounds amazing. And also, I like that kind of crust. And also, deep dish pizza is lasagna. All right, moving on.
That was my first experience with party cut pizza.
What's party cut? What the hell's that?
Party cut.
Oh, party.
Where they do the blocks instead of the
squares. Like kind of like what Little Caesars does anyway, which is cut it into squares. Which with a circular pizza is horrible because there's those edges.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so fun when I was a kid. Go on, it was different.
Nobody wants the slivers. Like those are the last to go.
Oh, actually, with the cracker crust, they're great.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Well,
if you're
true.
A big crust guy, you do like those. And even Domino's, when I do thin crust at Domino's, that's how they cut it, is in the squares, and they have the little corners that are rounded. I always found the ones in the middle
without any edge kind of difficult to manage.
Yeah, those are trouble.
Tasty.
Yeah, they're good. Everything you're talking about is making me freaking hungry. I might go to Marco's.
I'm talking
today.
About this because the tech news today is really sad.
Is it? Because
I want to talk about anything but actually what's in the news.
What happened in the YouTube deal?
The YouTube shooting.
Yeah. So we're now in a day later mode where a lot more is known, I'm sure.
The real news has finally come out. Like, there was so much, oh my gosh, she's Muslim, or oh, she's trying to shoot her boyfriend, or, you know, so much garbage came out.
Yeah. We made a point, because it happened right before Daily Tech News Show yesterday, and we made a point of saying, we're going to acknowledge that they're reporting a shooting. We're not going to tell you anything else because we don't know.
Yeah.
And we're not in the business of 24-hour news, so we're not going to try to say things that we don't know are true. But yes, 24 hours later, well, almost 24 hours later, we do know that the San Bruno police have identified 39-year-old San Diego resident Nassim Agdam as the person who shot and wounded three people. One of those people is still in critical condition, one in serious condition, the other still hospitalized. One other person apparently twisted their ankle running from the scene, so they are counted among the injured, but they weren't shot, thankfully. And of course, Nassim Agdam shot her and killed herself. Now, the interesting thing about the story is that police say they have no evidence that Agdam knew anyone at YouTube, but she had been reported missing by her family, who lives in Riverside, California, down here outside of LA. And they found her in Mountain View the night before the shooting. But because she's an adult and she was no longer missing, all they could do is report back to the family, we found her, she's there. And apparently her father said, you know, she might be going to YouTube. She's very angry about them for demonetizing her channel. She claims they censor her. There have been videos that she made that have surfaced where she espouses that kind of anger against YouTube. But of course, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You don't know that someone who's angry, I mean, how many people are angry at YouTube? You don't know that they're going to do this. So, you know, there isn't much you could have done, even if the father says, hey, you might want to be on the lookout for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we know. Those are the things we actually know.
Sure.
There have been some side things, you know, certainly expressions of support from other tech CEOs like Jeff Bezos and Tim Cook. There were, of course, the usual number of you know, misinformation campaigns, and from punksters to trolls to worse. Particularly, one of the first people to write about what was happening there on Twitter was a product manager at YouTube, Vadim Lavrusik, and later in the day after he reported himself safe, his Twitter account got hacked. And there was a lot of misinformation put out on that. Yeah. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey responded on Twitter to people pointing it out. They started deleting the posts and did give that account back to Lavrusik. So that's it. That's, you know, there's nothing good about this story. On DTNS today, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about this idea that YouTube has angered a lot of people over the years. And, you know, we certainly aren't going to say that this is in any way justified.
Right.
But it is something to talk about that, you know, someone has gotten so angry about this. Could there have been something done differently? Or is this just an outlier where, hey, you know what? People sometimes do unpredictable and crazy things, and you can't defend against all of them because otherwise you'd never do anything.
Well, I'll probably expand on this thought later when I'm on this episode because I'm part of DTNS today, but I would say just briefly, I think we're just looking at... It seems like it's a much bigger profile event given that it's this big tech company that still in many ways, you know, YouTube and online video and all that kind of stuff still seems new to a lot to us in some ways. And in other ways, it has become more and more institutionalized. And I think as things get institutionalized, and by that I don't mean government run or anything. I just mean they become institutions in our life. They're things that are just there. They'll probably now always sort of be there. It's part of everyday thinking in life. Stuff like this happens around all kinds of institutional things every day. And now it's the time for the internet is at a certain maturity, I think, where it's going to start happening around that. And yeah. I don't know that it's much more than that, except to say that this is, to me, this is all me, I'm saying this, but to me, this is the internet world moving into a position of regularity, to the point that it's subject to all the good things that come from that. And it's subject to some of the weird, you could call them outliers, but the weird little happenstances as well. Some of them tragic, like this one. Yeah. I don't know. That's just a thought.
Every local radio station, news station of any size in any metropolitan area that I've ever been into has strict security.
Right.
And that is because of things that were done, attempts made, and newscasters who were shot. You know, these sorts of things happened to media before.
Right.
And this is, I don't want to say it's not surprising, but this means that YouTube, I mean, if anything, you might be surprised that it hasn't happened before now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the anger that people stoke with each other over these YouTube policies. I got demonetized.
Mm-hmm.
My personal YouTube channel got demonetized. I wasn't happy about it. But I didn't go, you know, start a flame war against YouTube. All I did was said, well, the thing I was going to do on YouTube, I guess I'll do on Twitch now.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right? Like, we don't need to be pushing each other to greater and greater outrage. There's no shortage of things to actually be outraged about in this world that is, you know, full of war and poverty without getting stoked to that much outrage. Doesn't mean you have to take it. Doesn't mean you have to be okay with it. You can state your opinion about you don't think that this was a good idea, but we do push each other to say, let's get angry together about things that I don't think is the best use of that motivation. And again, I'm not trying to justify what this woman did at all,
mm-hmm, of course.
But we have created an environment that feeds this sort of thing. And maybe if we didn't have that environment, it wouldn't have prevented her. Maybe she was just the kind of person that was going to do this. Who knows?
Sure. I don't know. I think we're, you know, the internet's not immune to this stuff happening, and it's going to be more and more that way.
The internet is just the world now.
Just that's the point, I guess, I'm trying to make, and I'm not making it very well, is that it's just part of the fabric. It's the same fabric now. It's not an outlier, offshoot, weird little separate thing from the rest of our lives. It is every part of our life has some is impacted in some way. Unless you go live in a cave and force yourself never to touch it, the internet's part of everything we're doing. So, you know, we have to expect that sometimes it's going to hit that. You know, I'm with you, though. Not that this is justified in any way. And I'm also glad that we're talking about, you know, mostly injuries to those who were victims. And so far, so good on that. Hopefully, the person in intensive care pulls through. Like this could have been a whole lot worse, obviously.
Yeah.
Then there's the whole gun debate, which can be a whole separate discussion. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it'll be good today to talk through some of that stuff as well as the other things that are happening in tech today. Tom, anything else that's happening today you want to mention or talk about?
I was having so much more fun when we were talking about pizza. there's a cool rumor about Apple doing gesture control. We've seen that before. There's a lot of Facebook news. None of that's particularly fun. But, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's going to testify before Congress next week. They've put up their new, more transparent, easy-to-read terms of service. Zuckerberg says that he kind of dances around extending the GDPR protections outside of Europe. We'll talk about that on the show as well. So, yeah. Undersea cables?
Sure.
Google's running an undersea cable from Japan to Guam. That's fun.
Can they branch a little piece off to me, or is that not
to Utah?
Yeah. There's plenty of cables coming into the U.S. I don't know if they would run one directly into your house in Utah.
I'm not saying I have the wherewithal, the influence, or if I'm even deserving of such a thing, but I would not turn it down if they did. That's all. all right. We'll see how this all turns out today at 2:30 Mountain Time. That's 1:30 Pacific at the Daily Tech News Show, dailytechnewsshow.com. And Tom, make sure people know about your book you're working on, because I'm super excited for you.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you for reminding me. I've got a follow-up to Pilot X in the works, and you can read a couple sample chapters and even pre-order it and get it published at inkshares.com. The way Inkshares work, if I get 750 pre-orders within 90 days, they will publish the book. That's how I got Pilot X published. Powell's Books just ordered two more copies of Pilot X. It's still selling because it's a real book that was published with editors and marketing plans and everything. So I'd like to do that with Trigor. That's the name of the follow-up, T-R-I-G-O-R. And if you'd like to read those sample chapters and you feel like, hey, I want to see this published, I'll pre-order a copy. Please go to inkshares.com and search for Trigor, T-R-I-G-O-R.
Sounds good to me. Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter. So go find him there as well. Tom, take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now. Man, that shooter, what a bummer. That whole shooting thing. You know what's a bigger bummer, though, is all the shitty misinformation and crappy, like the guy getting hacked and all that. Ugh.
Yeah, the stuff that gets thrown out around that is even worse.
Hate it.
It's horrendous. Yeah.
Hate it. All right. Let's not talk about things we hate. Let's talk about things we like. Yes. Hold on. How about this? Here's some Hollywood punch sounds. Okay, that's a sign it's time for us to play a little bit of recommendals. Nicole's not here. She's at a spinal appointment doing spine business. Is her back still hurting her, I guess? Still a thing.
I guess so, yeah. She threw it out a couple times, and now she's having it dealt with. So.
Well, that's good. But we're going to carry on without her and do some recommendals of our own this week. I have a list of things that have just been stacking up that I've been consuming. So it's time to get some of those out. But cool. The tradition is we start with you. So, Brian, what do you got for me this week?
I have something that's a lot of fun that I've been watching and enjoying consuming. And it's relatively new. Came out last year. It technically came out 2 years ago, but...
1920.
Whoop, sorry. Double clicked to something I shouldn't have. So, wait, 2 years old, but just came out?
Technically, it came out last year, but part of it came out 2 years ago. We'll just leave it at that.
Wow. All right. It's like a tapeworm. All right. Well, let's find out.
Exactly.
Let's find out what it is by listening to this clip.
This really is good cheese, Walter.
I've done a good amount of reading on the subject.
Cheese?
Superheroes.
Ah.
I mean to say, I'm a buff of sorts. A follower of the superhero situation in general. Always have been, since I was a kid. Mm. Just to collect the cards, follow my favorites on the SHPN.
I like you, Walter.
You're defending somewhere in particular right now?
I'm sort of in between defenses at the moment. Sorting out my past, organizing my future.
What about the look? Are you wearing some kind of super suit then?
Not sure I follow the question there, chum.
I mean, are you wearing some outfit, or is it just you?
Whoa.
Okay, is that the Tick, the new Tick show?
That is exactly what it is. That is the new Tick. Starring Peter Serafinowicz as the Tick. That's Walter you're hearing there in the background, who was what was his name on Lost? He was the guy that they just saw in videos for the most part.
The Japanese guy,
yes.
He's in all sorts of stuff. He was in Altered Carbon. He played the police chief guy in that.
Right. Francois Chow, yes, exactly.
Love that
Peter
guy.
Chang.
He's great.
Dr. Chang in Lost. It's really, really good. It's the Amazon kind of remake of the TV show. I mean, it's all based on the comic book. But this one has, I feel like it's got more involvement by Ben Edlund, who is the creator of The Tick. Mm-hmm. The pilot came out in August of 2016, but the first set of episodes came out last year, August 2017. And the second half of the season was released just a couple months ago, February 23rd. So you've got a full season you can watch, and Amazon has already ordered a second season of 10 episodes. So you've got plenty of Tick coming. The only name on here you probably will recognize is Jackie Earle Haley.
Oh.
Rorschach plays the Terror.
Oh, great.
I take that back. You'll also recognize Alan Tudyk. He's the voice of Danger Boat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool. I did not hurt her. What's it? What did he do? He was also in that iRobot. I always remember him.
iRobot. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway,
So great. It's such a great show. And
do you like so Warburton versus this guy? I mean, how do you feel? Would you prefer
Warburton,
if Warburton was doing
Warburton
it?
Warburton felt like he was aware of it. Like he was self-aware. Yeah. This guy, Serafinowicz, feels like he, like the character, the Tick that he plays is seeing the world through child's eyes, as opposed to Warburton's thing, which is like, I can talk in a great voice. But
a taste of the Denver and all that.
I like this Tick as much as I love the Warburton Tick. Don't get me wrong. Loved it. Loved the dude who was also on Lost, who played Deflator Mouse.
Oh yeah. Batman. Well, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, but this guy really, really likes the Tick. He does a great job of just being like I said, just looking at the world through child's eyes, which is kind of what you want from the Tick.
Yeah. Well, I'm into that then. I'll finally check it out then. I know there's just a lot of people, there's a stigma that, you know, Warburton was awesome. And so people are like, who's this new guy? I don't know about this. And I admit I've fallen a little victim to that. So I need to just watch it. Mm-hmm. Amazon, right? Mm-hmm.
Amazon Prime, and totally worth diving in. Episodes are, I think, half an hour long.
Sounds
that's right.
Right. Yeah.
And man, I've been pouring through them, so they're great.
It's about what you want for a show like that, I think. More than half an hour, and you'd be like, ooh, a little much, a little much.
Start your day with a mouthful of the Denver.
Say, don't get me wrong, I love Warburton, but I feel like he's even better at that oblivious.
I'm down with it. I'm going to take your advice and see it finally. Yeah. Well, good.
For justice!
Here's mine. See if you can figure it out.
1922. A man's pride was a man's land. And so was his son. My wife. She wanted us to leave all this behind.
We can move.
Our cities are for fools.
We divorce. We both know that's what you want. Life is rarely fair, especially out here.
And I believe that there's another man inside every man.
All right, any ideas? The only hint I would give you is he says the name in there, but it's maybe hard to pick.
Oh, I didn't pick it out. Wow.
Here, I'll play the top part one more time.
1922.
There
it's called
is.
1922.
That's the one.
Is it really? Oh.
It's literally 1922 is the
bonk,
name.
Bonk. Yeah.
Directed, or not directed, sorry. Based on the novella by Stephen King of the same name. This is a Stephen King original film made for Netflix. So it's a Netflix original.
Okay.
A guy you hear talking is, his name just left me, Hung. The Punisher in the 2004 Punisher.
Yeah, Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane, thank you. Thomas Jane, who affects this crazy accent. But totally.
Wow, okay, never would have recognized that as him, huh?
Yeah, and he's all skinny probably from doing his stint over there on the Expanse, where he's super skinny in the Expanse. Anyway, it's set in 1922, kind of Dust Bowl-looking part of the country. It's awesome. I'm going to say, I also hear really good things about the one where the lady gets tied to a bed and then the guy dies.
Daniel's, or
it's a name.
Gerald's Game.
Gerald's Game, that's it. Gerald's Game's also on Netflix.
Oh, has that been adapted? Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't realize that had been adapted too.
And apparently that's also really good, so I'll withhold final judgment until I've seen that for what I'm about to tell you, but I can tell you thus far, I've seen every Stephen King thing ever made. I've read every book he's ever written, I think, except for maybe Rose Adder and one other. I love Stephen King. It's no hidden thing that I love him. This is my favorite Stephen King adaptation in a film.
Wow.
And that
says, okay, that's huge.
And some may say, oh, well, that's easy, Scott, because so much crap in the 80s and everything. No, I mean, like, all of it. And now the only exception would be Shawshank, Green Mile, but those were short stories, Richard Bachman name, like, yeah, it's different. And
it's all, yeah, exactly. You can't really count the non-traditional Stephen King horror kind of thing.
It's hard to count those. I just have a hard time with it. And I hope that the upcoming CBS All Access or ABC, CBS All Access Stand will maybe rival this. And, you know, I'm cool if I want more good adaptations of Stephen King content. That's my main point. But I think this is really good. It's super tense and taut and at times kind of funny, but then kind of twistedly so. I don't want to give away too much because the main plot is kind of the twist. So it's kind of hard to describe what happens without giving a big part of it away, and I really want people to see it. It's really good. It's very affecting. The lady who plays his wife, IMDb, I got to find it.
Is it Molly Parker?
Yes. You know her.
Yeah. From Deadwood and House of Cards and...
Yep, all kinds of stuff. People know that Molly Parker.
That Godless thing, too?
No.
And it just feels like she should have been because of Deadwood. And
she's in Wormwood. Oh, she was in that Goliath series. Remember
Goliath,
that?
Right. Yeah,
she was great in that. She's really good. Fantastic. She's great in everything I've ever seen her in. She was on Dexter for a while, much other stuff. Old shows, Boardwalk Empire, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
she's great in this, and you kind of super hate her for a while. It's hard to explain, but Thomas Jane's mesmerizing. The kid plays his son's really good. That's all I can say about it because I don't want to give away the story. But it's good.
And this is a full length movie as opposed to like a limited series kind of thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's a full
just two a 2-hour movie,
hour
yeah.
and a half,
hour and a half, minutes. Whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah.
And
okay,
it's
cool.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Total good one off. It's awesome. You guys should check it
cool.
out.
Cool. I like Neil McDonough, too.
Oh, I forgot he was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays a very...
Damien Dark.
Very interesting character with a very sad ending.
Really? Okay, all right.
That's the way I can put it. He doesn't die, so maybe that helps people not think I'm spoiling, but it's just sad the way it goes.
Neil McDonough is on this current arc season of Legends of Tomorrow, the CW thing, where they put all the... they just throw in a bunch of B characters from Flash, Arrow, and...
Yeah,
and stuff, which I'm actually really enjoying. They go nuts on that show. Monday's episode was nuts. Gorilla Grodd was trying to kill Barack Obama.
wow.
A couple characters had to go back to Africa to prevent a destroying of a village, and then two characters went back in time to the Lord of the Rings filming.
Yeah,
to get John Noble to record some lines into a tape recorder.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding with any of that.
Wow. Like, that's great. I love it. I need to watch that. It sounds like
it's a lot of fun. It's actually a better show. It's a cheesy comedy superhero thing that's like like if you were to try and do your best to make a Guardians of the Galaxy type show for television without spending a lot of money. That's kind of what you've got.
And he was also on Arrow as the same character.
Same character, Damien Dark. Yeah.
Oh, and also on the Flash one episode is the same character.
Yeah, he's kind of He's
everything.
One of the main villains of the Berlantiverse.
Yeah, and he's just a busy dude. I loved him as Robert Quarles on Justified season 3 or 4.
Oh my God! Yeah, one of the most. I mean, again, the guy has a look to him with those piercing blue eyes that like it plays the perfect villain.
Yeah, that guy.
Like,
he'd give
charmy,
his
smarmy everything.
He'd give his right arm for that role. Spoiler, everybody! Spoiler.
It's been more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been way more than 2 weeks. Okay, that's it for that. I thought I had a Jamie thing. Do I? I'm sure I do, and I just didn't.
There it says there's a.
I know. I meant to do this before the show, and I guess I didn't. But that's okay, because let's see. What do we have? Oh, we have something about bonus mashup all about wieners. Should we hear this?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
It does wieners, seem.
It's not really a thing for this show.
Doesn't seem like a thing we'd want normally, but we'll play it. Here it is. Full Connery wiener?
I thought we got full Connery wiener.
This is my penis. What's it? It's wiener Clark. There's a huge wiener. It's blue and it's coming our way. It's this goiter on my penis. People in power, put your wiener back where it belongs.
How do you get your wiener to stick to your leg?
Like flaccid, severed wieners. Have your wiener be some kind of radar.
Are you feeling listless and your penis won't go anywhere?
He looks like a smarmy penis man, but now he's a pervert with his wiener out. This is actually a preserved tissue-based wiener. You walk around naked and flopping your doodle around, or you can staple my penis to a rock.
You saw my funny underwear that make it look like my wiener's out.
You're a limp, limp penis. Can you imagine opening the door and your pizza guy has his penis out?
Sure did. About 11:30 p.m., wiener's out.
Anti put a hot coat hanger in my penis hole. You'd have to whip out his wiener and smack a dog in the face.
Show me that penis.
Maverick, I need you to show me that penis.
Show me that penis. We're going to find out that the guy who runs Comcast has got his wiener out right now, as far as we know.
Did he show you his wiener?
No wieners. Okay, no wieners. Right, okay. Not that I'm aware of.
My ex-husband's penis is so small.
How small was it?
It's like a couple of raisinets in a red wine. Oh, oddly enough, all that came from one episode.
Oh my gosh. That's one of my favorites now. I really like that one. That's just one episode, guys.
Just one episode, yeah.
There's lots more where that came from.
In between that, we played a song and we talked about a movie.
Yeah, JK's right. This is the part of the show I hope my mom's old friends listen to.
Oh, jeez, so. Yeah, right. Yeah. You hope they do.
It's a lot of penis, ladies. All right, we're going to take our leave. Thank you all for being here. Tomorrow's a new day. Should have Wendy here. Should have some good old-fashioned Thursday business.
Nice.
Before us. We'll be able to tackle that. We'll read the meeting notes, the minutes from last meeting. And then we'll dive right into this week's quarterly earnings report. That's right, tomorrow, TMS. Be here for it.
Make sure you use a cover sheet.
I always forget to say that we do it live every day, and a lot of people know that, but some people don't. So if you want to be here live and try that, you certainly can. 10 a.m. Mountain Time every day, Monday through Thursday, and then again on Friday at 1:30 p.m. Right. We do it right here at frogpants.tv. So show up and be part of the live crew, the two live crew.
Sometimes there's even a cat right here. Sometimes.
Where's that cat?
Not right now, though.
What's the deal with the cat? Oh.
She was sleeping there, and then she left.
She doesn't chew cables or wires or anything, right?
She used to, but no. She doesn't really chew them as much as she just bats them around.
Mm.
And I already thought about that for Discord. I'm like, oh, is that... Could she have ruined something for Discord?
The problem we're having is too digital. But, yeah, like, my cat so far doesn't seem to be tempted to chew cables, but I still won't let him in the studio. But I'll hold him upstairs. I'm going to go up and have lunch and hold him here in a minute anyway.
Aww.
He'll be just fine. Aww. His breath will still melt steel, though. I don't know what's going on with that.
That's just something that'll never change.
Ugh, it's so bad, Brian. It's so bad.
Kitty breath.
And he parts.
It's not going to be bad. It's kitty breath.
His parts. He farts all the time, too, which I don't like. Anyway.
Oh, well, I can't do it.
TMS mashups for our mashup dude there. If you want to follow Jamie and see what he's up to, that's a great place to follow him on Twitter. That's awesome. Can also support us at patreon.com/TMS. If you want like more wiener talk, I'll tell you what. No better way to fuel it than to say, here's my money. patreon.com/TMS. frogpants.com/TMS is where you can find everything else. And do us a favor today, if you haven't already done it, follow the show at Morning Stream on Twitter. Follow me at Scott Johnson. Follow Brian at Coverville. And a reminder, today, 1 o'clock p.m., Coverville with Brian Ibbett.
Yes.
At coverville.com/live.
That very weird and mysterious description I gave earlier, which I'm going to have some prep to do, a lot of preparation to do.
Well, this will be really fun for you. We'll play. Let's get out of here then. Play me a song. What do you got over there?
Well, okay. Chris from Norway wrote in and said, hello, legacy podcasters. A few days ago, you were talking weird dreams, and I thought I'd share one of mine. I was on vacation in a town that reminded me of Greece, walking around enjoying the architecture. And for some reason, I'm suddenly standing in front of a big garage, showing an orangutan how to use the remote control to open the garage door. The orangutan then turned to me, yelling out and stabbing me in my man wiener with a knife. Analyze that! Though the love show, signed Chris in Norway.
I like
wow.
it. I like it.
I've got no analysis for you for that one.
Yeah, I don't either. But I'm no good at dreams.
But he asked for something strange, and we're going to give him something strange. This is a cover of a song by Pierre Henry that's regarded as one of like the classics of electronic Moog music. You'll recognize it, especially if you're a fan of Futurama, as kind of the inspiration for the theme of Futurama, although it's not a direct song that was used for Futurama. It definitely was an influence. The Moog Cookbook, speaking of Moog synthesizers, kind of one of the offshoots of the band Jellyfish, Roger Joseph Manning Jr. Took on after that, released a very, very hard to find album called Bartel. It was kind of like a fan club release. On it, they include this cover of Pierre Henry's Psych Rock or Psyche Rock. I love this. I love this song, and I love this version right here. Here is Psyche Rock by the Moog Cookbook. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.